Amen. That's a blessing. Good to see everybody here. We'll be in Matthew chapter 3 tonight. I'm going to try to set a timer here so I can be respectful of everyone's time. I know we're all anxious to pray. It's good to come to a church that serves God faithfully. Everybody passionately serves. And I was hoping to have a blank slide to start off, but that's fine. It's my fault. So Matthew chapter 3, thankful for the opportunity to preach, thankful for our pastors and the position that God has them in. Let's see. And I'm thankful that that God allows us to serve him in his church. And he allows each one of us to have a special role, and each one of us do have a special role in his house and serving in the house of God. And that is a privilege, and I see it as a privilege. I hope you do. I hope you are excited to serve God. I'm thankful this year has been 10 years since the Lord has saved my soul and my life has been changed. And God has been doing great things in my life, and I'm very thankful for that, and I hope and I trust that God is doing that in your life as well. Today, as you can see, the message is called Blending In. So let's begin with prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to come into your house and to worship you. Lord, we want to worship you by paying attention to your word and hearing from you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon us, that you would fill me, that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would make me to decrease and you to increase. Lord, I pray that you would be high and lifted up and that everybody would be drawn to you, to be like you, and to love you more. And Lord, I pray that you would just give me clarity of mind and that I would say the things that you would want me to say. And Lord, that I would not say anything that you would not want me to say. I thank you for all your blessings upon us, and I pray that your hand would be upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 3, what we see here is a man. We hear a story of a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And now, as Pastor already mentioned a few weeks ago, a little bit about John the Baptist and how what Jesus said about John the Baptist as he was the greatest man to live. And of course, he did have a big role. He had a role of being able to not only pave the way for Jesus to come on the scene, but he also was being used to preach the kingdom of God and baptize Jesus. I mean, I can't imagine having the responsibility of having to baptize Jesus. I mean, what if you dropped him in the water? What if you did it wrong? I mean, you might be a little bit nervous knowing that you're going to be the one to have to baptize Jesus. But what we see is a man that was being prepared by God, and that God was going to use this man to be a preacher. Of course, not everybody is called to be a preacher, so it took a special anointing. It took somebody that God was preparing to have this boldness to be able to speak publicly, to speak to big crowds, a very unpopular message to the world, which is the gospel. The gospel entails, and what the gospel is telling people that they have a problem, that they are not right with God, and that they need to repent of who they are and turn to God. They need to turn from their ways and turn to God. So obviously, this wasn't a popular message, but God was preparing a man to be able to preach the gospel. And what we see is because he was surrendered and he was not looking to fit in, he was not looking to blend in, God was able to use him in this way. And so tonight we're talking about blending in. A few days ago, I was talking to my friend and I said, you know, I was thinking about it and I thought, where's my blender? I don't remember where my blender is. And I thought, I think I left it in North Dakota. But I remember always having like a new blender, always updating it, and always having something nice so that I could throw some vegetables and maybe some protein, maybe some milk and water, and maybe to have a good, healthy drink so I can have everything in there and not have to worry about what it tasted like, just making sure that I got all my vitamins and everything I needed for the day. But when you put all those ingredients in the blender and it blends together, you end up looking at it and not being able to tell what's in there, right? You can't really tell. And so if I blended something and I gave it to you, you might be a little bit skeptical about drinking it because you say, well, I can't really identify what's in there. If I look at it, I can't see it. If I smell, I might be able to smell a few things that I can recognize, but I might not be able to recognize what's in there. And you usually cannot tell the difference. Blending in is when you can't tell the difference. Matthew chapter 3, we see a man who did not care to blend in. In verse 1 of Matthew chapter 3, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.'" So what we see here is a man that was very different. He wasn't looking to fit in. He was a man that was in an undesirable place, the wilderness. It describes the wilderness. This is not a comfortable place that most people would want to go to or prefer to serve God in. This is the kind of place that people would probably say, "I don't want to have to go out there. There's probably no shade. It's probably hot. It's probably hard to get some water. And it's probably dry. And it's probably just not a popular place. I don't want to have to go out into the wilderness." And so this was a man who was willing to serve God wherever God wanted him to go. And of course, this took a lot of preparation, but he went to this wilderness. And so he was different in the way that he did not go where other people thought he might want to go. He was also different because he was preaching repentance. It says in verse 2, "and saying, 'Repent ye, repent ye.'" Now we know this, if we just read this verse here, we say, oh, he was just preaching repent. But obviously, when it says repent, we have to take it in context of the entire Bible. And we know that repent, when it says repent, it's basically summing up the gospel in repentance. But it starts with repent because they need to know that they have a problem. They need to turn from something. They have sin and it needs to be dealt with. So they need to first understand that they have a sin problem that needs to be repented of, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They need to trust in the Lamb of God. We know in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." So clearly, he was preaching the entire gospel message, and this was not a popular message. This isn't something that people necessarily wanted to hear, but we had two main demographic of people here. We have the religious crowd, and then we have also just the secular crowd, or like the Romans. And of course, they probably had their many gods and statues that they worshipped, and paganism. And John the Baptist, he didn't care about the repercussions. He didn't care about what people thought of him or how unpopular he was going to be. He was going to preach repentance no matter to who and no matter how they felt about it. And so he preached repentance to even the pagans, the world that was out there. But then he also preached repentance to the religious crowd. And so he preached a message that was very different. He also did not care about his appearance. He wasn't trying to fit in. He wasn't trying to blend in with his appearance and trying to make the people around him think or pretend that they were all in the same crowd. And so he wasn't looking to appear as the same as everyone else. And so he was different in his appearance. And of course, again, we see that this is what God wanted, and this is how God used him. And Jesus obviously validated this. I'm not telling anybody here to go and do that. But if God tells you to, be sure that it's God. And of course, we see that John the Baptist did not care about what he looked like. He was just going to preach repentance. He was going to preach what God was telling him to preach and where God wanted him to preach, no matter what. Of course, he was different, and he didn't fit in. He didn't fit in amongst the ungodly people of the land, the people that didn't want to hear anything about God, the people that were far away from God and maybe mocked God at the time. But he also wasn't seeking approval from the religious crowd. All the people that followed the Old Testament, sadly, they should have known what Genesis 22 preaches and what Genesis 22 obviously teaches about the prophecy of the Lamb of God. And of course, they should have known that. They should have looked twice at that passage, and they should have seen throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, that there was a Lamb and that they should have been ready for this John the Baptist to come on the scene for that Lamb. And so he wasn't looking to seek approval of them. In fact, he preaches at them. And so it says in verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of come?" So of course, right when he sees them, he's not going to be afraid of how he looks to them. He's not going to be afraid of what they think of him. He's just going to preach faithfully the word of God. And he says something that is very unpopular, and it could have been very offensive to these people. But basically, they needed to see that they were sinners. Obviously, he already knew that they were not willing to repent. And so he makes it very clear, and probably for the crowd to see, that the message is that you guys are a generation of vipers. And actually, the people who are studying the word of God are held to a higher standard. And the people who are preaching the word of God have that standard. And of course, he wasn't afraid to point out the fact that they were leading people in the wrong direction. And so he preaches openly to this crowd. Now, John the Baptist, he was not looking to blend in. But many people today are looking to be accepted. And of course, because we want to feel accepted. We want acceptance, and we want to be successful. These two things. And most people will be willing to conform to whoever and wherever life brings them, as long as they have hope of these two things of happening in the future: success and acceptance. And they're willing to bend their traditions. They're willing to bend their values. They're willing to bend their doctrines as long as they're promised those two things. And so there's a danger in blending in. And of course, there's a danger in blending in the world. We should not conform or sound or look like the world in a broad sense. Of course, we should be careful about wanting or having that desire of blending in around the lost world. When we are around them, there can be that temptation. If we're at work and we feel like an outcast, we feel like we're not accepted. And there should be this realization that, hey, I need to guard myself because I don't want to be tempted to be like them so I can be accepted or even successful. Amen. We need to be able to take a stand when it comes to the world. But then there's also a danger in wanting to be accepted in Christendom. And maybe today you find yourself in this church and you say, well, I believe this way and I have these standards and I have these doctrines, and really you're hanging on the coattails of your parents or the leaders. And the moment you leave and you go to a different church, then you switch things up and you say, well, it's whatever they believe. And then you switch things up again, and then you go to this crowd or you go to this concert, and then you go to these different events, these Christian events, and you just kind of accept whatever they say. And really, you're trying to blend in. And you want acceptance. You're not willing to take a stand for the truth. Or maybe you don't know exactly what the truth is. Or maybe you don't know exactly what you should be taking a stand for. What battles you should be fighting. And then there are the dangers of blending in as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Many people may think that they are saved. They think that things are well with them spiritually. They think that everything is okay. And of course, if you are in this category, you're deceived. It's not something where we necessarily would want, or anybody would want you to realize and feel horrible about yourself for being a false prophet or a lost person, but you are deceived. So we all have to be real with ourselves, and we all have to examine ourselves and see, are we just trying to blend in? Of course, when you come to church, you want to feel accepted. Most people who come to church to feel accepted. But blending in church should be a byproduct, not the main focus. We should be concerned with following Christ and following the leaders that God placed in our lives, but not just being tossed to and fro to please people. Amen. Most people are thinking, as long as I'm blending in, I'm good. Well, I'm blending in, I'm good. Maybe I started off, I didn't have a suit, and I see people have a suit, and so I got a suit. And so I'm blending in now. And maybe I didn't smile as much before, and so I started smiling. And I remember, these are things that anybody can do. These are things that it really doesn't necessarily take the Holy Spirit to do. Now, some people would never have done those things whatsoever, even considered it before, and they were stubborn, and the Holy Spirit has broken them down and humbled them. And of course, that was definitely for me. And so for me to do those types of things, it was definitely a big, it definitely took the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, there's things that we can just tweak and change really to blend in so that no one really notices us sticking out. And we're too concerned with just blending in and fitting in rather than really having a relationship with Christ. Now, it's not a bad thing to want to blend in necessarily. But what happens when you're blending in here and you're wanting to blend in the right environment, but then you go to another environment? You're going to want to blend in there too. It's going to become a habit. It's going to become a part of you. You're going to be blending in. And you go to this church and you say, I want to blend in with them. I want to blend in with this crowd. We should not be easily changed. Bible says in Psalms chapter 15, verse 4, it says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Think about that. When you commit some things to God, you know God has spoken to you, and he said, and God has told you, oh, I showed you the verse, I showed you the preaching, you understand the teaching, and this is what I want you to do. This is the standard that I now want you to take. But you say to yourself, oh, this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt for me to have to do this thing. And maybe you do it and you say, well, you know, I could easily just not do it anymore and it would make my life a lot easier. But see, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. You know, God is going to honor those who are not easily moved, who are not easily trying to just blend in. Of course, Paul knew what he believed. And he says, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So of course, Paul knew not only what he believed, but he knew that he was going to heaven. He knew where he would take a stand. He knew what he believed and why. He wasn't easily blending in. So we should be sure we don't just believe things that we believe just because the other people around us. You know, because we can go after wanting to just feel secure, and this can make us feel secure. to have the security of knowing that we're accepted somewhere and nothing's bad's going to happen. We're in a secure environment. But if you're going to be used of God, God wants you to step out in faith. God's going to want you to step in some uncomfortable territories sometimes. And God might have you in a place in life where you're all alone, where you don't have a crowd of people around you who believe the same way. And you might find yourself all alone. And what's going to happen then? What's going to happen when you feel the pressure of the world, when you feel the pressure of the people around you? You know, in the Middle East, it's a real danger. I mean, if you don't really start to do exactly what they want, they're very strong in what they believe, and they will threaten you, and they're not afraid of that. And so there could be situations where people are trying to threaten you. People want you to blend in with them. The question is, are you going to move? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, the Bible says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So, of course, we should not be easily tossed. We should not be easily carried about by diverse and strange doctrines. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we know that the Bible is constantly telling us, be unmovable, be steadfast. But as you do that, wherever God has you, wherever you find yourself, you should be abounding in the work of the Lord. Not just when the people around you are doing it, but doing it wherever you're at, having that lifestyle of serving the Lord and being unmovable in that. Have you been tested? Have you been put through the test? Have you been put through the test like John the Baptist, who was in a very hard position, but he stayed strong. He stayed strong to what God wanted him to do. Now let's look at another man in Matthew chapter 10. If we could all turn to Matthew chapter 10. And so we saw John the Baptist, and we saw how this man was somebody who was unmovable. He was a good example of somebody who wasn't afraid to just change his ways, to blend in. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he just stuck to that. And so now we see a man in Matthew chapter 10. And I'll read here in verse 1 through 4. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Theudas, Simon a Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." Now notice here how this man is named last, but he's the one of the 12 disciples. He's one of the 12 apostles. And so we see another man here who blended in. This man blended in, and no one even noticed. Now, of course, we know that God knows. He didn't fool God. He didn't fool Jesus. Jesus had a plan in all of this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know..." This is not the verse, but we should read it anyways. "For I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That's a good verse. Amen, right? That wasn't the verse. Let's see if it pops up. Yes, this is it. That's good. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his." Now, I hope you stayed on track with that. I'm sorry for messing this up there. But even though Judas, it seems like he's blending in, he did not fool God. He did not fool Christ. And so the Lord knoweth them that are his. And so we see that Judas was blending in. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We'll be flipping around a little bit, but I'll try to minimize the turning so much, but it might be a good little workout. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6, it says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation." Can we read verse 8 together? Ready? Begin. "And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste?" Now notice in the beginning of verse 8, it says, "And when his disciples saw it, they. It doesn't just say Judas. Now oftentimes we can get a little mixed up and think that it's just Judas. He's the only one that's bad. He's the only one that has false judgment. He's the only one that says something wrong. But we see here that it says they, right? Judas blended in right with their judgment. Judas blended in. In fact, if you go down to verse 9, it says, "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." So they all are thinking this way. But now when we skip down to verse 14, it says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest." Okay. So now we see that the disciples, we don't know exactly which ones, but we know it was they. And then we know that Judas is going to be the one that says, "Guys, I'll be the leader here. I'll be the leader, and I'll go make sure I turn in Jesus." So, hey, maybe he thought, you know, out of all the people that had the same judgment as me, I'm going to be the leader. I'm the boss here. Maybe he thought well of himself because of this. So we see that in verse 15, and he said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver unto you? And they deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. That's obviously disgusting. And every time we see that verse, we should be disgusted with it. But we see that they were all thinking this way. Now, if we look at John chapter 13, verse 29, and you don't have to turn there. I'll just read the verse here. But it's the same story, and it gives us a little more insight here. And it says in John chapter 13, verse 29, it says, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag. Now, this is after Jesus gives him the bag and says, do quickly what thou will do. And so all the disciples are looking, and it says when Judas got the bag from him, that Jesus said unto him, buy those things that we have need against the feast, or that he should give him something to the poor. So, of course, they're thinking that Jesus is saying, oh, just go pick up something. I need you to do something because you're the one that's handling the money. So, of course, they're all looking at this. And guess what? Judas blends right in. Judas blended in. And so, obviously, we know the end result of Judas. Jesus not only says that it would be better for you have never been born, but Judas ends up killing himself, sadly. Now, if Judas was truly trying to listen, truly examining himself, when Jesus said, when I dip the sop, Judas might have picked up on that, because we know two people did, or at least one did, John and Peter. And so we know that Judas probably had an opportunity to repent. He could have probably realized, and of course, even the process of walking out the door and having this in his heart and the entire walk, he could have repented. But he ends up having to have this horrible demise, this horrible destruction in his life because of this. So how do you know that you're not a tare? There's a difference between the tares and the wheat. Most people who are tares, they're thinking about what can I get out of this? They're looking at filthy lucre's sake. They aren't demonstrating a life of sacrifice or willing to sacrifice. They are not willing to be like John the Baptist and put themselves in the wilderness and put themselves as an outcast. If times get hard in their lives or times get hard in the church, they're out. They're quickly out. And these are the tares. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. We see here Jesus explaining to us this exact thing. And it says in verse 30, let both grow together unto the harvest. And in the same time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is a sad reality for some people, because it says, gather them that they would be burned. Now notice, who are we talking about? We're talking about people that are in his fold, right? We're talking about people that are gathered, that are in the same place as the wheat. And so what we see here is that they had a chance to change. They had a chance to respond. They had a chance to repent, but they did not respond. It says in verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So there's many people who are just so focused on blending in. They're so focused on just fitting in, being accepted, being liked, that they're missing the big picture. They're missing it. There's a movie that I watched before I was saved. It was one of my favorite movies, and it was about a man who's in Scotland, and he was trying to take Scotland back from England because England was wicked. And so he starts to gather an army, and he starts to win. And what happens is there's some men that are from Ireland that come over to help. And so these two men come up to help, and they come to the leader. the one who's been rising up against the wicked English people. And they come up, and there's two of them there. And right away, the one, he bows down, and he's all excited, and he pays all reverence to the leader. He makes everyone think that he's one of them. He's all in for the leader. He sits down. He's willing to kiss his feet. He's willing to do anything. He says, "Oh, you're my Lord now," stuff like that. So everyone's like, "Okay, this is a good guy." And then the other guy comes up. He doesn't show respect. He doesn't really care what people are thinking about him. And so everyone has a big question mark on him. And it seems like he's probably going to be somebody they have to watch out for. He's going to be somebody that's probably going to do a little stabbing in the back type stuff. But then the next scene is the leader hunting. And as he's hunting, all of a sudden he realizes that somebody's running up to him with an axe. And it's the man that he thought was the one that was definitely on his side. The one that was bowing down, the one that was kissing his feet. And guess what? Right before he comes up to slay the leader, the other guy, who seemed like he wasn't somebody they could trust, was the one that came up and kills this guy, so the leader survives. And when that happens, he looks at him and he thinks, "Wow, I can't believe this. I have no idea what to think, but now I know for sure I can trust this guy. And at first, I thought I couldn't." But the whole point of that story, the whole point of that, is that this man, he wasn't doing it because he thought that this leader was such a great leader and he was such a good guy and he wanted to worship this guy and he wanted to show all reverence to this guy. No, it was because he believed the cause. And if this guy was the leader of that cause and he was making it go forward, then he has his back. And you could believe that he's going to protect him. And the other man, he was just in it for filthy lucre's sake. He was just in it for what he could get, of course. We have to be careful about our judgment of men when we think, "Oh, this man is blending in very well. He's very well accepted," that these might be actually the tares. So, of course, you know, there's more value sometimes when there's somebody who is willing to submit and follow somebody who's a little bit different or a leader that's a little bit different, but not blindly. And each of us, when they are willing to follow, although they might have some differences or though they might have a different personality versus somebody who just follows because they want to get something, because they're hoping to get some things out of it, because they're just trying to blend in and please man. We ought to be pleasing God and not man. Pleasing God, and that should be our focus. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I should not be the servant of Christ. We have to examine ourselves and say, hey, maybe I've been a little bit too focused on just pleasing men. Maybe I've just been a little bit too focused on just pleasing the people that are going to promote me or pleasing the people that I see are going to help me get successful or are going to help me get married or are going to help me in my marriage or help me in these different things in my life. And I'm just seeking to please them because they're going to help me in some kind of way, when really that means you're not actually a servant of Christ. You're not acting as one. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Who are you serving today? Who are you coming to church for today? Why do you believe the things that you believe today? Is it just to fit in? Is it just to blend in? Ephesians chapter 6, and actually I will turn there. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 6, I just want to read these three verses here. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." That sounds very familiar, just like Colossians. As to the Lord and not to men. Most people are looking just to please men. Most people are going to church and they're just concerned with what they can get from it. And the moment that they see an open door of success or acceptance, they say, okay, whatever I got to do, I can change. Whatever I got to do to feel accepted. I don't really know what I believe, but if that's what you believe, that's fine. And we'll just accept that. But if things don't work out, I'll go believe what they believe so I can see what I can get over there. And so we see a lot of this being tossed to and fro. Of course, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now, of course, this is mainly talking to leaders, but of course, as well as us, we have the full word of God. We should not be walking blindly. This should not be us. We should not say, oh, okay, so the leaders can't be blind, but I can be blind. As long as I know they're not blind. Well, how do you know they're not blind? You know, it's all of our responsibility to know what we believe. We should have a basic understanding of doctrine. And once we do, once we learn, of course we have to be saved and learn from somebody. And we have to learn the Word of God, trusting that God is leading us in the right way. But then there needs to be a time where we take the Word of God, and we start to read it for ourselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of course, we know Timothy is writing, this is, book is written to pastors mainly, but of course, this is applying to all of us. We should all know our doctrine. And of course, if we are men, we have a role of being a leader in our homes. We have a role of being a leader with whoever God puts under us. And we should definitely be ready to show ourselves approved. I've seen a lot of people, and most of us have, who have believed and had these certain standards, but the moment that they move and they start to go to another church, they start to change what they believe, they start to change their standards, and then 10 years down the line, you can't recognize them anymore. And they're unrecognizable. And you walk in a room and you see them and they say, hey. They say, hey, Shane, remember me? Bible college? Remember me, Fargo Baptist Church? And you can't recognize them and you feel bad. And this could get to the point. This can happen when people are so easily tossed to and fro. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, this is the verse, the last verse that I read the night that I got saved, but it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. The devil and his angels, the devil and his demons, they're looking to use their people, the world, to get you tossed to and fro, that you don't know what you believe, and the moment you're with this crowd, you're tossed over here. And the moment you're over here and you're tossed over here and you say, okay, I'll believe this way and I'll believe this way, and you're not really sure what you believe. And so we see that the Bible commands us, be no more children. You're acting like a spiritual child. We should not be looking to be accepted by every different crowd of people, even religious people, even people that say they follow God. When God says, I am accepting you, allow God to be the one to accept you. He accepts you. That's in His Word. That's the foundation of our faith. We just need to take it, and we need to live by it. Amen. You say, but I'm lonely, and I feel unaccepted. So did Jesus. Now, I don't want you to use that as an excuse, but most likely there's things that God wants to work in your life for you not to be that way, and most likely God's trying to make you develop you as your more friendly person, and God wants you to be a little bit different, and obviously we all have things to grow on, so we should not say, oh, well, I'm lonely and nobody likes me because nobody liked Jesus. But we shouldn't be looking to blend in and to just boost our ego for self-gain. We should want to please our Master. Amen. We all have a part of God's plan. If you are saved, God has you here to probably be different. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And we know that Paul here is going to explain some things to the church about the body. And of course, we don't believe in this invisible body. We believe in the local church bodies. And so it says here in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit all are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Praise the Lord for that. You know, you might not feel like you're fitting in all that much. And of course, we need to be sure we are definitely saved and we are where God wants us. But if we are sure of those things, we are sure of our doctrine, and we say, hey, you know, I know this is where God wants me, then we don't have to worry about what people are thinking. We don't have to worry about blending in. We have to worry about serving God the way that he wants us to serve God. Amen. And it says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Let's continue reading. "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." So there we see that, of course, you might be different. Maybe you need to have some boldness like John the Baptist. You need to be sure of what you believe. And of course, you need to be a good follower. You need to submit to your masters. You need to submit to your spiritual leaders and submit to the church. But also be sure of what God wants of you and follow it. So you might have some differences in your life, but God has you here for a reason. So there's two things that we need to be sure of. We need to truly examine ourselves to be sure that we are truly saved. We need to not fool ourselves. See, if we are not saved and we've been sitting here, we've been coming here, the person we are deceiving, the person that we are fooling is ourselves. When we stand before God, we all will stand before God. We all need to be sure of our salvation. And if you're so worried about blending in, you're so worried about being accepted and things going well with you and the church is helping you, and so you're going to just blend in so that things can work out, you might get to the point where you sabotage the potential for your eternity with Christ because you want it to blend in for the moment, for some temporal gain. You want it to blend in, and so you ignored what God was trying to say to you. Of course, we have the Lord's Supper coming up, and as we approach the Lord's Supper, now's a good time to do some examination. We need to be sure that we are saved and that we have been honestly hearing from Jesus and responding to him, that we don't have secret sins, and that there aren't anything that's going to hinder the work of God in our lives and in the church. So for one, be sure that you are not a wolf. And don't be afraid to admit when you realize you are. I know it sounds bad. It might make you feel bad. But the truth is that we've all started out that way. You would just be admitting what God has already known. And this can make you free. Being free is much better. You know, it feels good to admit the truth and to not live a lie. It can be easy to ignore your salvation and just focus on blending in. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Many people get offended when you say, "Well, can I hear your testimony? Can I know how you've gotten saved? Can I hear some things? Can I see some things?" Well, the Bible tells us to do that. It says, "Believe not every spirit, but try them. Don't just see their doctrine. Don't just see their words. See if their life matches up with it." 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves." This is your duty, to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. "Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Are you a reprobate today? So first, we need to be sure that we're saved. There needs to be this examination. There needs to be this examination. But then we need to be sure we know where we stand in His Word. As we saw Paul, he knew what he believed. Are you sure you know what you believe? If you don't waste any more time. Begin studying, disciplining yourself to study the Word of God, that He might show you how He wants to use you in your life. God has a plan for each one of us. But if we're not actively doing the things that He wants us to do, such as knowing what we believe, being able to point it out. You know, at the end of Bible college, they had us stand before four different preachers for about 5 hours. Some people had to go for 10 or 15 hours. But we had an unmarked Bible, and we had to answer any question that they had about doctrine and be able to answer it sufficiently from any passage. They would just say, "Hey, prove this to me." And you would have to open the Bible and do that. I wonder how many people here today would, just on the basic things, would have a hard time with that. I wonder how many people today would really fumble if they didn't have the Bible study on leading someone to the Lord. If they would actually be able to show somebody from the Bible the salvation message. There's been many times in Africa where I only had my Bible. And I really couldn't really carry around all these papers. And I had to be sure that when the occasion came, which it was constant, that I was able to open the Word of God and be able to point to people the gospel message. And when they asked me questions, I needed to be able to turn to that. How many of us know what we believe? You know, God can use anybody, but He wants to use those who know His Word and who are able to teach others also, and who are not going to be easily moved. So don't ruin God's ultimate plan for your life by worrying about blending in.